Hi everybody, my name is Sergey Baidachny and I'm a Principal Technical Evangelist at Microsoft Canada.
And I'm Dmitry Nikonov, I'm a Vice President of Technology for Viacode Consulting. We are a system integrator working with multiple Microsoft products including Visual Studio.
And today we are going to start our training about C# programming language. In this training we'll discuss the latest version of C#, C# 6.0. But in any case, we don't ask you to have any knowledge in any programming language, including C#, C++, Java. So this training is for fully fresh developers. And once you pass it, you will be able to go ahead in order to learn modern SDKs, modern APIs, to developing games, Windows applications, and so on. For example, I have published my book about Windows 10 development in C# just 2 weeks ago, and C# is required technology in order to understand how to create modern applications for Windows 10, of course. In this training, we will have about 24 sessions. Probably we'll add two more sessions about Roslyn compiler and about cross-platform development. But in any case, we are going to start with variables, basic statements, methods, and after that we are going to go deeply to object-oriented paradigm. And at the end we will discuss the most important classes from .NET framework, like classes that allow us to work with files, streams, text, collections, and so on. In general, we are going to use Windows and Visual Studio 2015 in order to compile our applications in C#. But if you have just Mac or Linux device, you will be able to compile your C# applications there as well. In this session, I'm going to show how to use C# compilers on Mac devices, and you will be able to use this experience on Linux devices as well. So let's start. Today, we are going to talk about what is C#, which tools we are going to use during our training. And of course, I want to spend some time to discuss history of C#. I started to teach C# probably 13 years ago in 2002. Microsoft just announced this language and I opened Microsoft IT Academy and we opened some trainings, we started some trainings for beginners around C#, around .NET framework. But of course my first language was assembler. My first computer is ZX Spectrum. It was cool computer which had 48 of kilobytes of memory, of course assembler was very cool because at that time nobody worried about graphical interface at all. And once Windows, I missed Windows 3.1, yeah, but once Windows 95 was introduced, of course, I decided to switch language because it's not easy to develop anything in assembly. I remember Tom Swan, for example, book about assembly. Dmitry, do you remember?
Yes, that? Actually, you can still write any program in assembly language. In fact, you can inject assembly language, for example, in your C++ code now. I don't remember about C#, in fact. But what's interesting is that as computers evolved, as hardware evolved, there became possible to move from low-level languages that did not require any translation, and you basically were writing almost, you were writing in machine codes. With the languages like, C++, C#, Java, and all the high-level languages where you actually write statements that look like, well, broken English.
Yeah, the main problem with assembler is time, yeah, because if you decide to develop something in assembler, probably I can develop the same things in 10 or probably in 20 times faster, yeah.
Oh, there is a lot worse problem with assembly is actually debugging somebody else's assembly program, because to understand somebody else's assembler code, you have to be a very, very good developer.
Yes, of course. But once Windows Windows 95 was introduced, of course, for developers got a chance to use a special API, got a chance to use set of interfaces which allows to build graphical interfaces. And thanks to Win32 API, you can create windows, you can create different user controls, but Windows 32 API was developed for C language, and C developers at that time got probably the most number of benefits thanks to C language.
So let's talk for a moment what does this number 32 means in Win32. Before Windows 95, all Windows operating systems were 16-bit, which means that the word, the command was only 2 bytes long. With Windows 32, it was doubled to 4 bytes now. And by the way, today, most of your computers are actually 64-bit computers. That allows for many new things, many new advancements. It allows you to write programs that better perform because they your programs have a larger address space. You can fit a lot more into computer's memory because it's so cheap now that nobody really cares.
Exactly. But in 4 years, C++ introduced object-oriented paradigm, and many developers moved from C to C++ because thanks to classes, thanks to object-oriented patterns, you can simplify architecture of your applications.
Yeah, and object-oriented design and object-oriented programming is not something new that came in 1990s. The idea was from probably about 1960s, I don't remember exactly, but old languages and languages like, for example, ADA are examples of object-oriented languages. They didn't take off, but they were still object-oriented languages. On the other side, before object-oriented programming, we had procedural languages, functional languages, like, for example, Fortran, where you were not able to define any objects, or even COBOL, which, by the way, now has, I believe, an object-oriented flavor.
And once C++ introduced object-oriented paradigm, many companies developed own libraries in order to simplify Windows development process. For example, I used two libraries of Rail from Borland and MFC Microsoft Foundation classes from Microsoft. MFC still exists, but all these native object-oriented libraries did not resolve some problems related to native development at that time. For example, I still remember that time when we had to create different applications for different operating systems like Windows XP, Windows 2000. We had to compile our application for different CPUs like Pentium 1, Pentium 2. I even don't remember that CPUs we had at that time. It was a problem. But about 13 years ago, Microsoft introduced .NET Framework. .NET Framework is a platform which helps to develop, compile, debug, deploy, and run managed applications. What does it mean, managed applications? The idea is too simple. .NET Framework is not just libraries. Object-oriented, of course, libraries, but it's a set of services which were built on top of Win32. So it's very important because we are going to discuss Windows 10 as well in case of .NET Framework. At that time, it was built on top on Win32. And thanks to these services, you was able to, and you still able to develop anything, because .NET Framework supported Windows applications, web applications, and contains different technologies. At that time, I found this slide which I presented probably 12 years ago. And at that time, .NET Framework contained ASP.NET technologies, web form, forms which allows to build web applications, contains Windows forms which allows to build Windows applications. Right now, of course, .NET Framework contains much more technologies like Windows Presentation Foundation, which built on top of DirectX, like Web API,
Windows Communication Foundation, NDK
Framework, Windows Workflow Foundation, etc. So lots of different technologies. But at that time, it was enough. Using .NET Framework, you was able to build Windows, web applications, services, and applications which work with data, of course.
But what's really important to note is the word managed. Managed means that there is some entity, which we will discuss later, that compiles your applications, that serves your applications to its client. And what happens, your application can be written in any language, obviously supported by .NET Framework. And then the application in that language will run exactly the same on all operating systems that support .NET Framework and on all machines and with all libraries, because there will be never what is called a DLL hell, a conflict with different versions of your libraries. Whereas one application, for example, would use version number one, and another application will use version number two, and when you install the second application, it will overwrite your C Windows System 32 directory, and then a lot of applications will break. That is another reason why we went from native applications to managed applications, because now every application runs as its own isolated space with its own isolated libraries and managed by, managed by .NET Framework Platform.
So Dmitry is talking about the second part of .NET Framework called Common Language Runtime. Thanks to Common Language Runtime, you can get access to lots of different features. For example, Common Language Runtime allows you to manage memory. You should not use something like delete operator that is very famous for C++ developers. And you should not think about memory management. You should not think about some things related to security checking, type checking. And of course, Common Language Runtime allows to execute programs that you develop in C Sharp. But in general, once you develop your program in C Sharp, you need to compile it using C Sharp compiler. C Sharp compiler will not produce machine code. C Sharp compiler in general will create a special code using Microsoft Intermediate language or common intermediate language. So it's some sort of object-oriented assembly, and Common Language Runtime can execute exactly all programs that contains Microsoft or common intermediate language inside. So Common Language Runtime can load all this code, compile it in runtime using specific CPU features, specific operating system features and so on, and produce machine code on fly, optimized of course machine code on fly, and after that can start all needed components in order to execute your application. Idea was too simple, but what about languages? Yeah, Dmitry told what you could use any language which was supported by .NET Framework. At that time, probably three, the most popular languages like C++, managed C++. Just one language which supported managed and unmanaged code. So you have a chance to mix managed and unmanaged code, and thanks to extensions to C++, you can probably increase performance of some critical paths in your code, etc. And Microsoft introduced two new languages. First one, it was Visual Basic .NET. Of course, it's similar to Visual Basic in case of syntaxes, but frankly speaking, Visual Basic .NET is fully new language. And Microsoft introduced it for people who liked Visual Basic 6 in order to make a smoothly transition from VB6 to Visual Basic .NET.
Visual Basic 6, and I've used it a lot in my projects in the 90s, it was a very convenient language, it was very easy to understand, it was very easy to write, but at the same time it was a weaker language, it did not support object orientation, as all the basic languages, it was essentially an interpreted language, which means that it didn't compile, and at some point it basically overgrown itself and something had to be done, and Microsoft introduced VB.NET. The benefits of VB.NET were, first of all, it was object-oriented language. It was a managed language, which means that it's supported by .NET framework and common language runtime. And it was very similar, if not in syntax, but at least in functionality to other .NET languages such as C#. And at that time, C# essentially was born. There was no C# till early 2000s?
Exactly. C# was designed specially for .NET framework. So it contains all needed features in order to create the best managed applications. And Microsoft recommended if you have time, you have to learn C#. Right after .NET framework, Microsoft introduced additional technologies. Some of them were included to .NET framework. I remember what next technology was Windows Presentation Foundation. This technology was built on top of DirectX, so you could create and you still can create desktop interfaces which have great performance, and you can create any user control inside. You can use existing controls, or you can modify existing controls, or create your own controls in your own way, and it's too easy, and controls works fine with keyboard, mouse, and touch as well.
Right. Silverlight, actually, I was actually working at Microsoft at the time when Silverlight was developed. I was in the Visual Studio team, in the Visual Studio team system, and it was developed in 2007 under the name WPF Anywhere, Windows Presentation Foundation Anywhere. And it included at that time UI interface features, basic controls for user interfaces, media playback, graphics, digital write management, and integration with a document object model to work with XML documents. At the same time, at that time it was made up of four components. Now those four components are the same, they're still propagated. It's components that handle input from devices, such as your keyboard, mouse, stylus, finger, and so on. User interface core, which allows you to manage bitmap images like pictures or JPEGs, and vector graphics, text, and any kind of animations. Media for playback of your media files of various standards and various decoders, MP3, WMA, WMV 7, 8, and so on. And of course, something that we will cover later in this class, something called XAML, an extensible application, markup language. So, Then there was a lot of reincarnations of Silverlight, and there was some controversy even within Microsoft about Silverlight. And in 2010, Silverlight 5 was essentially born, and that was the final version of the true Silverlight, which was released in 2011. Now Silverlight is used mostly for your Windows Phone support, but WPF is still a very important part of Microsoft development instrumentation.
Yeah, and lots of developers use Windows Presentation Foundation for desktop applications right now. And if you are going to develop anything for desktop, just for desktop, probably you will use Windows Presentation Foundation as well. Of course, in case of modern Windows 10 applications, you will use different technologies, but VPF is still very popular. So, some words about Windows 8 and Windows 10 development. When Windows 8 was introduced, Microsoft introduced new native object-oriented API for developers. It's something new, and it was announced like native API, which worked on top of kernel and what does not require using of Windows 32 API. And of course, this API contains lots of different user controls, different classes, which allow us to build modern interfaces for tablets, for desktops, and right now, in case of Windows 10, for anything. Yeah. And what role of C# for Windows 8? Frankly speaking, when we announced Windows Runtime, we announced what Windows Runtime supports three technologies. Four. C++. So in case of C++, you could use it in order to create fully native applications. C# and Visual Basic. Second and third. Languages which you can use to build Windows 8 applications, but it's still C# is still managed. It's very important, and in this case you able to use not just Windows Runtime but .NET framework based class libraries. That's why it's important. I already told what you can use base class libraries anywhere, including Windows 8. So Windows 8, Dmitry, what is it?
Thunder.
Yeah,
that's a thunderstorm.
Yeah, in Seattle right now, and talks like what there is not very good today. In any case.
Let's go back to Windows RT.
To our presentation.
So a couple things to note about Windows RT. First of all, it's written in C++ and it's object-oriented by design, whereas its predecessor Windows 32, as we discussed earlier, was written mostly in C programming language, which was not object-oriented. It also has a piece of unmanaged programming language, application programming language, unmanaged API, which is still based on the old COM, which allows you to interact, as you saw on a previous slide, with the COM marshaller. Now, the new C++ CX, what's called component extension, which has both the old C++ system, allows people to author and consume WinRT components without really any kind of effort in any of the languages that we know, including C#.
And third technology that you can use in order to build Windows 8 and right now Windows 10 applications is HTML plus JavaScript.
In fact, HTML5 and JavaScript applications are very popular right now. And the Chakras award mentioned in there is essentially the JavaScript engine that processes your Windows runtime. And there is also rendering engine that, renders your, I guess, graphics. It's called Trident.
As we mentioned earlier, C# is still managed language and supports Windows 8, supports .NET Framework Core, and you can use C# and set of base classes from .NET Framework in order to build Windows 8 applications. So, frankly speaking, for C# developers, you can understand Windows Runtime like one more technology for C#, like Windows Presentation Foundation, like Windows Phone, okay, Windows Runtime. And of course, it was history of C#. What about modern C#? How we can use C# right now and which platforms and which technologies it supports. First of all, Windows 10. Microsoft announced universal platform, universal Windows platform for lots of different devices. Right now you can create a run, thanks to one core, you can run the same application on phones, Internet of Things devices like Raspberry Pi 2, for example, on tablets, on desktops, on laptops, and even on Xbox. And of course, Universal Windows platform was built on top of Windows runtime. So you still can use C Sharp, and C Sharp is very popular in case of Universal Windows platform because C++ is very complex. I know what lots of developers like C Sharp. So if you know C++, C Sharp, VB.NET, probably you'll select C Sharp for Universal Windows platform. In case of JavaScript, of course, you can select JavaScript. And if you open Microsoft documentation, MSDN, you can find what usually Microsoft publish all examples using two languages, C Sharp and JavaScript.
Correct.
So, the first type of applications, it's Windows applications.
.NET Framework is also works on multiple platforms thanks to technologies or implementations of .NET Framework such as Mono. Mono is an implementation of .NET Framework that works on Linux-based operating systems. It has
open source,
of course,
yeah.
Implementation. Yes, it's actually dual license. It has a free license and it also has a proprietary license that can be bought or sold. It does include support for main Microsoft technologies. It's not a full framework. It includes ASP.NET, ADO.NET, Windows Forms, and a few others. But it also includes its own implementation of C Sharp and VB.NET compilers, even before Microsoft made them available publicly. There is also Portable.NET, which is part of .GNU project, and it also provides portions of .NET Framework's implementation, and it also has its own C Sharp compiler. It actually supports multiple CPUs and multiple operating systems that can run, you know, GNU Linux operating system.
Right now, Microsoft has own open source implementation and cross-platform, of course, implementation of .NET runtime called CoreCLR. CoreCLR supports base class library, and right now you can find implementation of ASP.NET that you can run based on Mono or based on CoreCLR as well.
So there are multiple implementations of .NET that allow developers to run .NET based programs on various operating systems, not necessarily Windows. Now there is also a way to write code that will run on any platform. One platform's Xamarin allows developers to create native applications that run on Apple iOS operating system, that run on Android, and obviously run on Windows. And all you need for that is to be able to develop those applications in C Sharp. Now, there are other cross-platform implementations. For example, PhoneGap, that is now called Apache Cordova. And that allows you to write also cross-platform implementations, except they will be in HTML5 and JavaScript. The issue with that is, while it's much easier to write a PhoneGap application, it is also will be less performant and less reliable as the native Windows app C-sharp application written with Xamarin.
Right now, JavaScript developers don't like you, Dmitry.
Well, you know.
Pay special attention what on this slide. I just copied it from Xamarin site. Developers have C-sharp 6.0 book on the table. C-sharp 6.0 is the latest version of C-sharp. And Dmitry just talked about open source, just talked about implementation for Linux. Frankly speaking, about probably 2 years ago, we announced what we are going to Drive.NET Framework and C# in open source. And right now you have Roslyn compiler and you can use it as well for your projects. So Microsoft continue to support .NET Framework like open source.
So and the thing is that now with Microsoft .NET Framework and languages made open and public, you can actually take that implementation and extend it with any kind of code that you want. And in fact, you can contribute, a lot of people contributing to that project by supplying their own code, by developing their own code.
One more interesting project is Unity. Unity 3D, which are a very popular framework right now, not just framework, but a tool, which allows to build games, cross-platform games, so lots of developers use it to build Windows, Linux, iOS, Android games, and
Xbox
even Xbox games.
Games,
yeah, Sony PlayStation games if you want. So very popular tool right now, and of course you can use C# there as well. Not just in Unity, frankly speaking. I heard something which Unreal Engine already supports C#. I know what Mono Game supports C# as well. So you can use C# anywhere.
And with Unity, by the way, as I've heard, HoloLens developers
yes.
actually using Unity
yes.
to develop games, not essentially games, but applications for augmented reality with Microsoft augmented reality glasses called HoloLens.
Yes, and as I mentioned earlier, .NET compiler right now is open source, so you can contribute and you can use it in your own projects as well. So, in summary, you can use C# right now for Windows 10 development, for creating web applications, because you can use C# to develop Azure applications, to develop applications using ASP.NET. You can use C# in order to develop Linux applications, and thanks to .NET Framework Core, you can develop web applications not just on Windows, but on Linux and on Mac as well. So, for example, you can use Visual Studio Code to run it on any different platforms and develop web applications there. You can use C# in order to develop cool games. You can use C# in order to develop Internet of Things solutions, not just for Raspberry Pi 2.
And if, by the way, if something that you have a piece of hardware or you have an idea that is missing from .NET compiler, you can go pick up your own version of .NET compiler platform Roslyn and enhance it.
Yes, and of course, you can use not just C#, but in many cases, you can use .NET Framework based class libraries as well. And in this training, we are going to discuss all features of C# 6.0 and base class libraries as well. So you will be able to develop anything.
So we just spent a lot of time talking about how C# is great, you know, what is .NET Framework, how you can do a lot of cool things. But you probably need some instruments, some tools to actually do the work. So what do you need?
Yes, very important question. I would recommend to visit visualstudio.com site and download tools from there. Microsoft made very important step. Microsoft announced and published probably 2 years ago Visual Studio Community Edition version. It's a version which supports all features which were available for Visual Studio Professional.
Maybe we should spend more time on that because I guess unfortunately Microsoft have changed what they called SKUs, basically different versions of Visual Studio from version to version. So now we have Visual Studio which has its own editions, we have Visual Studio Online, we have Visual Studio Code. They're all different and each of them is actually very useful. We just need to describe specifically what purpose they serve. So let's start with the Visual Studio.
So, in case of Visual Studio, I would recommend to download and install Visual Studio Community Edition 2015. And it's free. And it's free not just for education, it's free for small teams and you can develop and sell your projects. without any problem, and you should not pay anything. Of course, client tool is not enough, yeah, because especially if you are going to work in small team, you need some server side which will support
source control.
And which should support some additional features like task management, requirement management, yeah. So, and many probably already heard about Agile, you already heard about Scrum, yeah. All these features should be supported on server side. In case of server side, you can use Visual Studio Online. Visual Studio Online, in case if you're working in teams up to 5 developers, it's free as well. And it supports many different processes, and I believe what in Azure you can use not just Visual Studio Online, but deploy virtual machine with Team Foundation server. It's the same as Visual Studio Online, but on premise, yeah, on your own server. And in case of Team Foundation server, you are able to edit any process there. So you're able to modify existing processes and create your own process.
So Visual Studio Team Foundation server is essentially a backbone of Visual Studio Team system, which Microsoft started to develop in for Visual Studio 2005. I, in fact, was working on that team, on Visual Studio Team system team. Visual Studio Team Foundation server is a combination of a few important things for software development lifecycle. It includes, first of all, your source code repository, so you can never lose your source code and you always can go back and you have your history. It includes issue tracking system that allows you to track bugs, issues, what they call the generic name for that is called work items. And you can create your own type of work items by modifying Team Foundation Services templates. You can create your own processes, like you can work with various approaches with Agile framework, you can work with Waterfall, you can work with Rational Process. All you need is you need to create templates that fits your needs. Also, it includes tools for testing, and I'm not sure if they're included in Community Edition, but there are tools for load testing, for performance testing, and so on that can be done from the Team Foundation server. It also has integration with other Microsoft products, such as, for example, SharePoint, where you can store your documentation, and if you need some very, very serious project tracking with the Microsoft Project Server as well.
Yeah, and if you don't like Visual Studio repository, you can use Git, for example, Visual Studio Online. Integrates with Git, and Visual Studio community integrates with Git as well. And the last one tool is Visual Studio Code. We just announced this tool for developers who want to develop cool applications based on Mac or on Linux. Yeah, so you can install it on different operating system and use many different languages, not just C sharp. Yeah.
Right, but it has certain limitations. It's not as complete as Visual Studio.
Yeah, it's not the same Visual Studio like Visual Studio on Windows, but it's first step. Yeah, and I discovered what we announced new version of Visual Studio Code, new updates each month. So let's see. But right now we are going to use Visual Studio on Windows, so you can download Community Edition for free, of course. And let's go back to my presentation. And we are going to use some additional tools. So as I mentioned earlier, you can use Visual Studio Online, which allows to manage your software development lifecycle. We are going to use Eldasm tool. It's disassembler for Microsoft Intermediate or for Common Intermediate Language.
Yeah, that's what it stands for. IL stands for Intermediate Language and DASM stands for Disassembler. So basically what it allows you to do, it allows you to reverse engineer codes that somebody else wrote and compiled into an executable into not quite C-sharp, but into a language that a developer can understand and can actually follow. And of course, there is another tool that is mentioned here is Visual Studio Command Prompt, not to be confused with the regular Windows command prompt.
Yeah, to run it probably it's better to start search with dev, yeah, and you will find developer command prompt for Visual Studio 2015. And using this tool, you can launch all other tools like EODASM, for example. And you can see what is graphical tool, but it's better to run using command prompt because I simply don't remember where this tool is located.
Think of this tool as something similar to, for example, a PowerShell that not only allows you to execute regular command prompt commands, which you can still do from here, but also some special commands that are related to Visual Studio. So it is a Visual Studio command prompt.
Yes. If you want to know where .NET framework is located, you can go to Windows folder. You can find Microsoft .NET framework folder there. Of course, because I have 46-bit computer, I have
46-bit computer? 64.
Oh, 64.
They haven't made 46-bit computers.
It's after the Spectrum, yeah. It's too much for me. 64-bit computer. Of course, I have two versions of .NET framework. And you can see what there are several different versions. What is more important, you can install several versions of .NET Framework on the same PC. Right now, the latest version is 4.6. Yeah, but if somebody developed application for .NET Framework 2.0, for example, you could install it and run based on .NET Framework 2.0 without any problems. And developers should not think about how to modify code in order to use the latest features, etc. Windows supports all these versions at the same time.
When you as a developer create a distributive, basically something that will install your program on client computers, your Visual Studio will know automatically which version of .NET Framework is supported, if there are multiple versions supported, which one is the latest, and as the software is installed, it will check, do you have the needed version of .NET Framework, and if not, it will ask you to install that. What is interesting in those directories, as you can see on your screen, are the tools that we just mentioned. And each .NET Framework version contains its own version of those tools.
Yes, and I just pointed a tool called csc.exe. It's, wow. Frankly speaking, it's
C-sharp
compiler.
Yes, yeah. CSC,
so
that's what it stands for.
C-sharp compiler is part of .NET Framework. It's not part of Visual Studio or something like this. So, frankly speaking, you can develop application for .NET Framework and even for Windows 10 without Visual Studio at all.
In fact, a lot of parts of .NET Framework actually written in C#.
Yes, yes. You can use Notepad, yeah, for example, to create code, and you can develop compile your applications using C# compiler from command prompt. Well, that's all. So let's back to our slide. And probably it's time to start develop our first application. We are not going to discuss any particular technology during this training. We are not going to do Windows presentation foundations or Windows 10 applications because this training is about C#. But we are going to develop console applications. In case of console applications,
what is a console application?
Yeah.
There are multiple ways you can have a presentation layer. You can show a window, you can show it in a browser, you can show it on your phone. But a console application is the application that does not have a graphical representation. You basically run it in a command window.
So, let's try to run Visual Studio 2015, and let's try to create the first console application for Windows. I will use new project inside Visual Studio. Pay special attention, but by default, I know what many developers try to create console application because in some cases by default Visual Basic is selected. Yeah, and Visual Basic has console application template as well. Visual Studio supports many different languages. You can see what Visual Studio supports TypeScript. Visual Studio supports
Python, JavaScript,
etc. So, and I believe you can find additional plugins, additional templates, etc. But in our case, we are going to use C Sharp. Of course, you can use C Sharp Windows templates, and you can find console applications there. Of course, it's better to create name for our application, not console application 6, but better name like hello application. Visual Studio will create a special directory for our solution.
By the way, notice it has the word solution in it. We have not discussed the structure of Visual Studio projects yet. So as you create the first project, you are creating essentially a solution. A solution is a repository for your multiple projects. If you're writing an application that has a database, a web user interface, and a business layer in the middle, you can write it as a three separate projects that are part of the same solution. And you can create relationships between those. You can say, for example, which is your startup project, which application you want to run, which is one is your library. You can mix applications or projects in different languages, different technologies as a part of the same solution. Also, a solution is important when you do team development because multiple developers can work on the same solution and they can check in and check out various parts of the same solution. So it also provides a nice interface, as you will see in a moment, for team development.
Yes, in many cases I have not just Windows client, I have server side, I have a special project which allows to deploy with server side on Azure. There is the second checkbox, so if you want to add your solution to source control, to Jito, to Visual Studio Online, you need to check this checkbox, switch on this checkbox, and Visual Studio will help you to make it. I will click OK, and Visual Studio will create our console application. We have just one C# file there. C# files have a CS extension. It's typical extension for C# files, and by default, our application contains one class code program. C# fully object-oriented language. So you cannot create any global functions. You need start with classes in any case. But of course, we need a place where we will create base objects, where we will create objects which represent our application. And of course, it's main method. It's a special method which has don't return usually doesn't return anything, and
it says void, so it means that it is the word void actually means that it does not return anything,
and it contains parameters like array of strings, and you can pass these parameters using command prompt. And frankly speaking, you can create several main methods. You can create several classes and several main methods using project properties. You can easily define which main method, which class you need to use in order to call the right main method. In our case, we have just one class, so it's not important at all. So right now, I am going to remove not needed code right now. Probably included namespace. I'm not going to discuss what is namespace right now. So at least we have one class and main method inside. Each block in C# you can define using brackets.
Well, you kind of have to define blocks using brackets in a lot of cases. If you have more than one statement for conditional statements, for the loops and so on, the syntax requires you to use the brackets.
Yes, even if you don't use any special statements, you can define block in any case. Yeah,
you can just write
everything
an empty
what you declare inside any block has visibility of it. And second topic is comments.
The comments in C# can be included by using two slashes or slash and asterisk, right? On both sides.
Yes.
So in case of
inline comments, you can do it something like this.
So there are two ways, as you can see, to write blocks of comments. And what are comments? Comments are the text that the compiler just ignores. Comments is the information for developers, for the ease of readability, for providing certain insights into your code, why you did certain things certain way and not the other way, and so on. And by the way, writing good comments is very important for a good developer.
So let's try to create our first application. In order to put something to console, you can use console class.
Mm-hmm.
The full name of this class is system.console. System is a namespace. We are going to discuss namespace in next modules, but right now you need to understand what is just a logical entity for mm-hmm. our classes, and name of our class is console, but thanks to system namespace mm-hmm. we have full name for our class, system.console. And inside system.console class we have several static methods. What does it mean, static methods? We are not going to create any objects right now, so we can use name of the class in order to call these methods like this. So in this case we are going to print hello world on the screen. So let's try to run our application. In order to run our application, we need to use debug menu. You can see what there is: start without debugging a menu item and start debugging menu item. If you are going to debug, probably it's better to run start debugging. We are not going to debug anything, so it's better to run start without debugging. In case of start debugging, if you reach the end of the program, Windows will automatically close console application. So in order to avoid it, you can call another one method called readline, for example.
Well, yeah, and readline will essentially provide an input window. By the way, normally readline will give you some output, what you actually read, but in this case we're just going to leave it alone.
So what does it mean, run this application? Once we select start debugging or start without debugging, Visual Studio will call compiler, C# compiler, and C# compiler will compile this application to Microsoft Intermediate Language.
So first thing compiler will actually do is to make sure that all the syntax is correct. It's like your teacher checking your work, making sure there is no errors.
Yeah, and after that, frankly speaking, when we compiled this application, Visual Studio will create exe file, but it's not machine code yet.
Yeah, it's not a true executable like we used to see in the old Windows. It's actually something that you can read, and we will read it in a moment. There is another compiler called actually just-in-time compiler, which will pick up that executable and compile from Microsoft Intermediate Language to the actual implementation of your machine, your operating system, your processor, and run it in its own virtual space.
Yeah, it's a very optimized compiler, so it knows when and how to compile different classes from your code in order to have better performance. And in some cases, you even can pre-compile application for your particular machine. For example, for store applications, right now, Microsoft make pre-compilation in order to run store applications very quickly.
Yes, that because performance is really important. So yeah. Why don't we just run it?
So, try run it. How what? So it's done. Of course, it's not enough. We are going to simplify our code. But before I am going to talk about parameters. Yeah. So as I mentioned earlier, you can use parameters in order to pass something using command prompt, and its array. So I'm going to check if this array has some parameters inside. I will print hello plus this parameter. But if this array does not have anything inside, I will print hello world. So let's try to do it. I am going to use selection statement. We will discuss it in module 3, and in this case, I just want to check lengths of our array, and if lengths equals 0, I am going to print hello world. In other case, I am going to print hello plus my parameter. Because it's array of strings, I can use concatenation. Don't use concatenations in your projects, and I'm going to change it right now, but on the next step I'm going to use concatenation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all. How to pass parameters. So let's see. It works fine. It's hello world. I can go to properties of my project, and I can open debug tab and just use command line arguments window to pass my parameters. For example, I will put my name. Let's run our application again, and you can see what hello Sergey. So right now you know how to pass parameters not just from command line but using Visual Studio.
So let's take a look for a moment again at that string static void main string array of arguments, and let's look at the words that we actually using. So the word static means represents the scope of that function, whether it relates to the class, to the entire program, and so on. And we will get to all of that a little later. We'll talk about public members, private members, statics, and so on. Void is another important keyword. Void tells the C-sharp language that this function does not return a value, that the procedure does not return a value. Main, obviously, is the name of that function, and the next is, in parentheses, is a set of parameters that are being passed to that function, which is an array of strings. An array, because it's represented with a square bracket, string is a data type, we will shortly discuss the data types, and args is the name of that array of strings, it's just the name of the arguments. So essentially what we're saying is that we're going to execute a function main with a set of string arguments. The next line is a conditional line that has an if statement, and as you can see, there are two blocks in that if statement. The first block by default means that if the whatever is the condition that we're checking is true. And the second, the else block, obviously means that it is false. There are multiple ways to write conditional statements. We will also discuss it later in the chapter. And then, of course, we have the system console write line call that actually prints hello world or hello name or the first argument on the screen. Now, does it have to be that long, the system console write line, or can we simplify it?
So I don't like this name, system.console. That's why I'm going to remove system. I can do it thanks to using keyword. Thanks to using keyword, I can tell C# compiler, I have some classes inside. I did not use namespaces there, but here is list of namespaces, and please try to use it. And please try to find in which namespace which class is located.
Now, Visual Studio, and not Visual Studio, but .NET Framework is smart enough to actually have a list of all those namespaces and objects, and it's already very well optimized. So a compiler is not going to have any trouble trying to find that console actually belongs to the system namespace. Sometimes there are certain libraries. Well, there are certain libraries that have the same name and belong to different namespaces. There is also a process for resolving that, because your own. So first of all, we have a system namespace here. You can write your own namespace that will also have a console function or a console object or console class. And depending on what's in there, Visual Studio will either resolve it or will give you an error.
In the next step, I am going to remove concatenation. Concatenation is not good,
well,
especially for
strings.
Projects where you want to work with data. Yeah, probably you heard something about SQL injections. Yeah, it's happened thanks to string concatenation. So I am going to remove concatenation. I am going to use strings with parameters. So I simply add a parameter to my string. I can do it using with brackets, and I need to pass number of parameter in my list. In my case, I have just one parameter, so zero index.
So
parameter, yeah.
In .NET framework, or by default,
not just in .NET framework,
well,
yeah.
Particularly in .NET framework or traditionally in programming, all the arrays or all the enumerations or anything that you can, more than one, is zero based. So that's why we have this hello zero and argument zero. So the first argument is actually a zero argument. You can think of it that way, that in Europe, first floor is actually second floor, because it's actually, yeah. You know, the first floor is called ground floor or lobby or whatever else. But think of it as everything starts with zero. The first number in enumeration is always zero. So, like, if somebody asks you what is your number, you say my number is one, it actually means that you're, you know, second.
And our code still works fine. And let's try to implement some additional improvements there. First of all, I am going to remove this string as well, because in C# 6.0, we can include our parameters directly to strings. I can do something like this. But in order to provide information, I have some parameters inside my string, I need to use a special operator.
So this means, so first of all, the dollar sign means that there will be some parameters inside the string, and you can see Visual Studio colored them differently as soon as you put the dollar sign. Then the quotation marks means that it's a string value inside those quotation marks, and that syntax around args 0 means that it's actually the argument.
Yeah, and it works in C# 6.0 only, so Visual Studio 2015 is required. If you still don't have Windows 10, you can install Visual Studio 2015 on Windows 8 or on
Windows
7. Yeah, so you should not have any problems with it. And it still works.
Yeah, it still works, that's correct. Now, can we simplify it even more? Can we remove the word console from there?
Yes, one more feature of C# 6.0, I don't like it very much, because I used to write console dot, yeah. But in any case, because probably you are very fresh for C#, you can use this feature without any problems. I can, because console is class which contains just static methods, I can eliminate console class from my code as well.
Yeah, you can move it to the using statement, and you can say using system and
so
using system dot
I can,
console.
Yeah, dot console, but I need, because it's not namespace, it's class, I need to add additional keyword called static. So using static system.console, in this case I can use any methods inside console class without this prefix at all. You can see what our code looks better right now, and it still works. Hello Sergey, it's strange, yeah, but it works. So it's not enough, No, because we have a special representation for if statement.
For a simple conditional statement that only has true and false. You cannot do like else, if, if.
Of course. For simple conditional statement, but in our case we have very simple conditional statement. So, I will try to change my code. How to present a shortest version of conditional statement. You can use two operators, question mark, and before question mark you can create condition which returns false or true, for example. In our case it should be x length equal 0, and after question mark you can create a comment, something what return data. I cannot use right line right now, but I can use this conditional statement like argument for right line. So I need to return in case if arg length is equal 0.
Which means that there are no arguments.
Yeah, I need to return this string.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, in other case, I need to return this string. And I can use this construction like parameter for my write
line
method.
Right, the only way in fact it will work if you wrap it around the write line method. Otherwise system does not understand what you're trying to do with those parameters.
Yeah.
And by the way, let's comment out that section, let's delete it. Now that's another way let's remove it and comment it out. Sometimes you want to keep your old code without deleting it. Just use comments.
Yeah.
And you will see that we just replaced 8 lines of code with one simple statement.
You can see what usually by default on your toolbar you have a special button which allows to comment your code very quickly.
Yes, there are multiple user-friendly features that allow you to comment and uncomment the code, to indent your code, to make your code look pretty, and there are various toolbars in Visual Studio. In fact, if you open them all, they're going to take half of your screen, and we will discuss some of those toolbars in this course as well.
Let's discuss how to compile and execute C# applications on Mac and Linux devices. I'm going to use my Mac in order to make this demo, but you can use the same set of actions and the same experience on Linux devices as well. So first of all, we have to select a good tool that allows us to create code in C#. I would recommend to use Visual Studio Code. Visual Studio Code is a new open source, lightweight, cross-platform editor that supports more than 30 languages, and you can use it in order to create C# files as well. So you can download Visual Studio Code visiting visualstudio.com site. And Visual Studio Code is a folder-based editor. So my first action, I have to open a new or an existing folder. In my case, I have an empty folder called C#. And inside this folder, I will create my code in C#. So let's try to create a new file. For example, main.cs. And I can create the same code that I developed 2 minutes ago on Windows device. So using system, and after that I need to declare class, and inside my class or program or anything else, and inside this class I have to declare main method even without any parameters. So I am going to just print hello world and that's all. So console dot write line hello from Mac. Okay, once you create your code in C#, you need to select a runtime. You can select right now between two runtimes. You can select Mono or you can select CoreCLI runtimes. In this demo, I'm going to use Mono. So in order to install Mono runtime, you have to visit monoproject.com site and just download and install package from there. Once you install Mono runtime, you can execute C# compiler from this runtime, and you can execute, you can use runtime in order to execute your application itself. So in order to do it, I am going to open terminal window, but it's better to do from Visual Studio Code, because I can open terminal window in context of my working directory. So let's go open in terminal, and right now I can use Mono C# compiler, MCS. I can pass name of my file, main.cs, and let's try to execute. Oh, right now I have an error, so you can see that my main method is not static. Yeah, I forgot to use static keyword. Let's go back to Visual Studio Code, and let's add static keyword. Done. Let's save my file. Let's open terminal window once again and execute the same command. Looks like it works fine, and I can see main.exe file in my working, inside my working folder right now. So this is an application that contains a common intermediate language inside. I can use Mono runtime right now in order to execute this application. Let's do it. In order to use Mono runtime, I can use Mono command in my terminal window, and I can pass name of my program. You can see hello from back. Done. Okay, Dmitry, what we are going to discuss next time?
Yes, we will talk about data types, we'll talk about variables of various types, we'll talk about the basic operators, we will talk about type conversion and casting, but that's all, you know, to be continued. For today, what we'd like to make sure that we've covered is the history and the reasoning for development of .NET Framework and C# as a language. We have covered the main functionality of main structure of C# program, which is in Microsoft Visual Studio, you will have a solution. Within a solution, you'll have a project. Within a project, you'll have a set of namespaces and classes. And we haven't touched on assemblies yet, but that will happen too. And the ability for a user to interact with the console. We have not covered any major user interfaces or web interfaces. We'll just cover the console operations.
Thank you for your time, and bye for today.